I wonder if everybody's here that wants to be here. Committee's here, so we won't worry about observers who come in later. If anyone might have accidentally picked up my books from this table, they were very important to me. They have all my notes in them, and they've gone missing over tea, so... it's my rule book, my symbols list, my guidelines, and there was another piece as well. But there are several people talking to several people, so we hope it'll get tracked down. But if anybody has, find somebody with looking for a place for them, pick them up by mistake. Please get them back to me. I'd like to welcome everybody. This turned into a much bigger deal than I really expected. Originally, I thought, well, this is a great opportunity. Just about everybody's going to be here, and we can get together over lunch or something like that and have a meeting, or maybe after the General Assembly is over. And Mary put us on the agenda, which is absolutely great. Leona has agreed to take notes, and looks like we're not going to have any difficult African names to keep track of, so hopefully she can keep track of everybody who participates in the meeting. First of all, I'd like to ask the committee members if they would introduce themselves. So, Australia?
Sorry, Phyllis. Christine Simpson, Australia, and as people know, I did the editing of the rule book.
And Leona Holloway, also from Australia.
New Zealand.
Maria Stevens from New Zealand.
Nigeria.
Sorry, Gino B from Nigeria.
South Africa.
Danette
Buerta
from South Africa.
Christa de Klerk from South Africa.
And the United States.
Joe Sullivan, United States.
And unfortunately, Sheila Armstrong from the UK was not able to attend the General Assembly, so we're glad we've got the British observers here today taking part and can bring the British point of view. So I chose items for discussion that are not that easy to discuss on email. I'm hoping this will be kind of an open-ended discussion, a chance to get input from everybody here. I'm not going to limit discussion just to members of the committee, but I hope everybody will participate. I don't think we need to make any decisions on anything. I just would like us to do some brainstorming. So the first item is discussion of communication issues, because we're at the point where we've had the rule book out for a while, and we're going to put out a new edition, and we're starting to get requests in for new symbols. There may be people out there who want to ask technical code questions. We want to know how to receive that information, whether people want to know about those questions and suggestions that come to the committee, how to disseminate information on what we're doing. Should we be, when we have a topic under consideration, should we be getting that information out that we're discussing something? if we provide an answer to a question, there could very well be other people who would like to hear that question and answer. Any decisions that we make in between editions, rule book changes that we make in between editions. And what's the best method for disseminating information? Most of us know that the Ducks users list. Is that a good way to do it? A listserv that would just be announcements, such as BANA has. Our ICEB website, or should we be having a special section or our own website for code maintenance, or the UEB code? The New Zealanders had the spreadsheet that they used. Is that something that we could consider? Who should be involved in disseminating the information? Is it up to our committee members? Should we have a subcommittee? Should ICEB executive members? Maybe we should disseminate it through ICEB executive and expect them to go back to their countries, or maybe we should be going back to our countries. Should we be contacting the Braille authorities and expecting them to disseminate the information? Or, you know, there's so many possibilities. And who should take responsibility for it? My responsibility, a subcommittee, the public relations officer, Mike. So, that's a list of some of the issues, and I bet you can come up with more issues, and maybe we'll end up with more questions than answers, but I open it up. Jen.
I was just going to say, with regard to how to disseminate the information, when you mentioned the contacting the Braille authorities of each country and having them doing it, I know the one thing that when I get information, usually it's from Darlene, actually, relating to these things, and she asked me to share it with the board, I do. And the thing about that is that the board, at least in our case, they're made up of educators and producers and things like that, so they actually are able to get the information to people who need it, and I send it to them and I ask them to, and I hope they do, and I think for the most part they do. So that is one vehicle that, and again, that's how it works in Canada. I don't know about other countries, but
Antoinette?
I agree that it is important that the Braille authorities of the different member countries should know about our decisions, but at the same time, it's very important that a list of decisions taken from this General Assembly up to whenever, the next one, at least until the rule book edition appears, but perhaps until the next General Assembly, is being kept somewhere where one can have a look back on, what did they say last month?
Thank you. Christine?
Phyllis, in Australia we use AusBraille to circulate, which is our listserv, to circulate information to Braille producers and in Australia teachers, whoever. I have, and we find that works well for us. I have some concerns about a list, as you mentioned earlier, where people can post questions and get answers. Because although it sounds good in theory, I've seen, and I'm sure many others have, too many examples of where someone asks a question, several people answer a question, and only one or two of those answers is actually correct. So I think we have to be very careful when we think about a wider way of distributing and encouraging people's questions, how we actually encourage those questions so that wrong information is not going out, because it's much harder to fix the wrong information if it goes out and to correct that than it is to get the right answer.
Maria and then Mike.
In New Zealand we have NZBRL list that we could put information on, but mainly we've got a code maintenance committee, New Zealand one, and I circulate information to them, which goes to the producers.
Mike?
Yes? Right. As far as I can see, there are at least three elements to this. One is to let people know when the decision has been made. The second is to keep a record of those decisions so that other people who didn't know can access them. Then the third is to pick up people's queries. Now, the first area of letting people know, I think that probably should be a one-way email list. Something, it just gets sent out, you get it. If you want it, you get it. I think we should also perhaps keep a record somewhere in a section of the website about code and keep a record of all the decisions that have been made, and that would be a permanent place to store it, and if people didn't catch the email or keep it, there's a list of these things that they could go through. The other one I don't know how to handle, because you could get all sorts of funny questions. It could be a very heavy list when changes happen. You just need someone who is an expert to sit on the end of it and not have 1,000 people responding, as Maria said. So whether we want to set up... the other problem is going to be it'll come to info@icespeed.org and Joe will get it, then I will get it, and I'll send it to Phyllis.
Yes.
Hanif?
Okay, I don't really want to speak on the mic. It's fine. I just wanted to say a moderated list would solve that. So,
Hanif is saying a moderated list would solve that problem.
It doesn't have a phrase.
Okay.
I'm engaged in several moderated lists, and you still get a lot of trouble. So I think it must be a bit more disciplined than that.
Joe?
We do have a list called ICEBRL, which has been around forever, and it's very, very quiet. It is the ICEB discussion list. If people could be aware that they could ask through that, and then... relayed, you know, somebody would just watch it and relay it to you if it would turn out to be a question. It would be a formal question to the committee. Other than that, it is really just a discussion list. But at least I haven't seen anything going through that list that was inappropriate or spam or anything of that kind. It seems to be actually all too quiet, if anything.
Pete?
I think something like an ICEB announce is the right way to if you like, push information out from ICEB, both about this and about other things. And I guess one of my reasons for thinking that is that it's important for people to know that the... It seems a rather strange point, but the information that's coming out to them is genuinely ICEB. You know, but if it goes through, you know, multiple hands, multiple lists, you know, it's quite challenging sometimes to know whether what you're being told is in fact, a genuine outcome of our deliberation. So, I think, you know, direct relationship with ICEB through some kind of push list is great. But my other thought around communications to us, you know, as a group, is that I think, and I don't mean this, I can't think of a different way of putting this, but I think our primary responsibility is actually to our member countries and the members of ICEB. So we need initially to define the best way that those people can feed into us. And my general thing is that, you know, if other people want to really become an active part of and gain more information about what we're doing, then, you know, we need to find ways of them joining ICEB, quite honestly. So, you know, I think our initial role, our initial responsibility, we should scope it by saying we want to look at ways in which we can develop communication so that our members can communicate what they want to us and what they're concerned about to us. One thing that I'm a bit unclear about, and it might just be my knowledge, is how, say, a request from a person or an individual, how a request gets translated into a task or into a series of tasks. What process do we go through to take a request and translate it into something that the committee should really action? Because I guess my ultimate concern is that we could get all sorts of requests from absolutely everywhere, and it would be impossible to turn all of them into tasks. We've all got busy lives, and somehow we need a filter, a process that actually takes whatever requests and whatever concerns we get and translates those into tasks and things that the committee is going to take on. And I think probably understanding how that works at some stage. Maybe it's all sorted out and you guys understand it, but I confess I don't.
Shall I go through that? Christine has a comment and FM has a comment. Christine, are you on that topic, or shall I address Pete's concern first?
I am on that
topic. Okay. I think this has sort of happened just by default, not any particular plan, but most of our requests for new symbols have actually come from somebody had a big spill behind us. Most of our requests so far have been coming from South Africa, and Antoinette has generally relayed the request and has always been very particular about saying this comes from the Braille Authority, not from her personally. So in that respect, I take it as a serious request. I put it on my to-do list, and generally whether it fits in with what we're doing now or whether I want to put it further down the list, and because I think it might fit into something later. And then I think what I would do is put it to the committee as a whole and say, is this something you agree should be addressed? And if it is, then we would discuss it, come up with a proposal, and then it would go to the executive, particularly for new symbols. The executive, ICB executive, would approve it. Does that? But that hasn't been, you know, written out anywhere in black and white. I don't think it's just been how it's worked so far. Pete.
So I guess my encouragement would be to formalise that a little bit more. I think whilst the issues are coming from exceptionally knowledgeable members of the committee, that's probably fine because people are going to provide you with all of the information or a lot of the information you might want. But I think it would be useful to have some form of, I don't know, change request form or something that basically outlines all of the information that people need to provide so that you've got the best information in front of you in order to try and decide whether or not something needs to be prioritised. So some sort of change request form, I think, might help. And it would also mean that would encourage people to really consider the detail of the issue that they're proposing and make sure that they provide the committee with as much information as possible.
Thanks, Pete. Christine?
So I just wanted to go back to the issue about people's questions, not their suggestions for change, but their questions in the first place, and suggest that they're possibly dealt with in the first place by their local Braille authority, their country's Braille authority, who then, through the member on the co-maintenance committee, can address their questions, answer them, and bring back to you, in this case as chair of the CMC, areas or issues that don't seem to be, you know, covered already. I think that if we have an open list where questions are coming from everywhere on the code, we'll find that it becomes a high traffic list very quickly, and that's really what none of us need.
Okay, thanks. FM? I was actually agreeing with what Mike was saying about various forms of communication for various things. So the one-way list out from ICEB might be the best way to disseminate information, and people could just subscribe. BANA has used a model like that for a number of years, and it's been very, very helpful. When the tactile graphics document was completed and put on the website, there was an Ask Us link on the website so that people who had questions specifically about the new document or a change or how do I do this or, you know, some question of interpretation. And those questions then went to the chair of the Tactile Graphics Committee, and that has been very helpful. And then he can talk to his committee and then respond, and then any decisions and interpretations are then reported to the board. So something similar could be done like that for people who have questions. Christine, I think you're right that people could be referred to their individual Braille authorities, but I'm thinking beyond just questions related to this, especially if one of the resolutions we'd be talking about is related to promotion. And if we do want to continue promoting Braille and promoting UEB and informing people around the world about UEB and what it is, going through the ICEB website is an easy and contained and central way of doing all kinds of information like that for questions. It's so much easier to just refer people to one website rather than 17 different places. Well, you can get this from here and this from here and this from here. Whereas if everything's centralized through the website, I think it makes it a lot easier for people who want information about UEB to find it in one place. Thank you. Documents have reappeared. Thank you very much. Further questions, comments, suggestions, ideas? It's raining.
Drizzle.
Okay, well, let's move on then to the second point on the agenda is future plans. What do we want to do when we're finished the next edition? And we've had some ideas. My idea, primary goal, which I stated in my report, is I think we should eliminate the need for the guideline for technical materials and incorporate the technical rules into the rule book itself in the same manner as the current rules are written, so that there is one cohesive document and everybody can understand that there is one cohesive code and it all interrelates. And I think that will be a fairly extensive project because we currently have overlap with Rule 3 and some other rules, so we'll need to look at that those kinds of issues very carefully when we do change over to the new way of doing it with just one rule book. We've heard that there's a need for an extensive word list and discussion about problem words. I think that could be an ongoing, never-ending issue. We'll see when we get to looking at the various word lists that we have and see how much fun we have talking about individual words. But I think that could be a big project. Any other ideas? Anybody disagree with those ideas. I expect there would be ongoing requests for new symbols because we are still a fairly new code. Open it to comments, questions, suggestions. Jean.
When you combine it, are you going to put the technical guidelines in sort of the second half of the book, or is it going to be intermingled with the other chapters? I mean, because they are already numbered in the two books, aren't they? The unit sections. So it would just be like the end half of the book, would it? Or
well, Christine, is it 13 that's technical right now? 11. 11, right.
Okay.
Right. Currently we have a sort of a summary. It isn't complete. We have it in the rule book, but just the basics of the technical, I guess, the highlights. So whether we would keep that and keep it as section 11 or whether, you know, it would depend how soon we wanted to get it done, how extensive a revision it turned into. I don't know that we can predict that at this stage, and we might get feedback from people like you and others in the field that they do want it separated a bit more than we're currently proposing. Antoinette?
I think the place it has in the rule book now, the section 11, is a very good place. It is just after the more common literary things, and it comes before special sections such as early English and foreign languages and code switching and the things we had this morning. I think it's a very good place to have it. And of course it will have to be re-lumbered from 11.1 onwards until it ends. And I suppose there will then also be a little bit of renumbering in section 3, which is numeric mode, if some of that is moved to 11, otherwise just reference from 11 back to 2, which is perhaps better.
Thank you. Any other ideas, suggestions? Nobody has any strong feelings about what we do next, obviously. Pete.
Antoinette, you might not want to do this, and Phyllis might not want you to do it, but I wondered if you might comment on as it implies that we're going to be doing something next, the resolution that you've put forward. Because it does indicate a future piece of work, I think, for this committee, and it might be useful, given that we have a little time to understand what that is.
Antoinette needs a minute to gather the information. No other... Hanif is probably saying, dead air, dead air. okay, well, obviously no one's terribly unhappy with our plans, so otherwise we'd be having a revolution rather than a resolution. Antoinette, have you found your... Nearly, okay.
I'll have to do it from memory, because it's on my memory stick. the problem we have is that there are some modified letters in some of our indigenous languages, not many, at most two or three, at most three, I think, where there are not UEB symbols defined. That means we will make our own plans as far as what we do in our indigenous languages. That has not got anything to do with ICEP. We've done it already with Afrikaans, For instance, we have a very frequent use of words in Afrikaans which has a circumflex on a vowel. So many that people just won't accept UEB if we had to use a three-symbol sign to reflect that in a short word of two letters. I did actually take the 1,000 mostly used words in Afrikaans and showed the Braille SA committee at the time what it would look like, and everybody said, oh no. So what we did is just for your interest's sake, we defined the circumflex on any letter in the old Afrikaans was .45 before the letter. We can't do that in UEB for always. So what we do is we define the .45 between the letter as if it is a contraction. We sort of call it a contraction. But we also use it in grade one Braille. Our table will look after that. We use it in grade one Braille as well, but as far as UEB is concerned, it's not a real grade one symbol. So if there is any possibility of confusion between our contraction and the real grade one symbol, then we'll have to put a grade one indicator before that symbol. But that's not your worry. The problem that does worry UEB is, what do we do now if we want to write a word or a phrase or something very short in one of those languages with the other modifiers. If we write those Afrikaans words with circumflexes in an English context, then of course we use the UEB symbol. We can't do other than that. We write UEB. But now what do you do with those three that are not defined? And I had an example which I was printed, which is an ordinary little sentence. I think it said, we expect so-and-so to be here. She will be arriving from so-and-so place by tomorrow. Okay. Oh, never mind. Okay, it doesn't really matter what it is. But that's a usual sentence that can occur in a novel. Somebody would easily say that. We can't put it on a symbols page if it occurs only once in a novel. If we have to use a describer-defined symbol, we'll have to clarify the transcriber-defined symbol. If not, we'll have to switch over to the Venda or the Sotho or whatever language and say that it's now going to be this language and this is where it ends and goes back to UBC. It's a terrible clutter. On the example I gave you, what would it look like if we have to do that, and what did it look like if, and I somebody signed a symbol by myself yesterday, it's not really what Braille, what Saba said. Pardon? Can we translate some? Oh dear! You can't. Anyway, so that is just to tell you why we have this. And now Saba hasn't seen it because it came up yesterday. But I'll take it back to Saba also to say if Saba really agrees with it. Perhaps the resolutions committee in the end will say, no, this is a committee charge, not really for a resolution. They will take it at that. But even if this committee says, if here in the assembly it says we may not have it, we're still going to put it to the maintenance committee from Saba, I'm sure.
Sure. Bill. Full. I think you're getting the mic from Pete.
You might hear some scuffling. It's people right behind us, everybody putting their chairs and everything together. And we are on some kind of wooden floor structure, so you might hear some vibration. I do apologize for that.
Is it switched on? Yes. I mean, well, the first thing I have to say is but this seems to be, it is a code maintenance committee matter. I don't see why it should be a resolution that goes on the general resolutions paper. It's clearly a matter of how you code.